You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
WMDX 90.7, as you heard there. Mm-hmm. And you can also check us out on the Civic Media app and text us or comment. Give us a call as well. We love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. It is 7:07. It's cloudy. We've got a few sprinkles, a couple of showers here and there. Highs today close to 60 degrees. Right now, we want to bring in Jeff Wild and Dan Elsis. They're with the Guns and Gardens Safe Disposal Project. Good morning, gentlemen. Good to have you here.
Good morning.
Hope to get a few guns off the streets, so to speak, yeah. Or out of your homes.
Yes.
Tell us about your organization and what you've got going on here on June 7th at the First United Methodist Church here in Madison.
Just on the street from us here at the station.
Yes. Well,
Jeff, go ahead. Yep.
I am connected with a national organization called Raw Tools. Mm-hmm. As in war spelled backwards, and Raw Tools has been in existence for about 12 years, started by two co-authors of a book named Michael Martin, a Mennonite pastor, and Shane Claiborne, who's an activist and author. I was so inspired by their book that I decided I could do this and began blacksmithing and took the training through an organization called the Presbyterian Peace Fellowship several years ago to help organize gun safe disposal events.
Yeah.
And so this is our third year, the second time that we've been at First United Methodist Church in downtown Madison.
It's just like a, you know, flapjacks on a Sunday morning. I mean, you're out there, you know, grilling up the the guns, melting them down, creating something else out of them. It sounds laborious and very hard work, right?
Do that on site?
Yeah.
I generally don't do it on site. Just because if our main focus is on safe disposal of firearms, it involves about 10 people, volunteers, and it also, our focus is on destroying the firearms on site.
Yeah,
I take the barrels home and have a work out of my garage, much to my wife's delight.
Yes.
And it is laborious, but it's also very meaningful to turn a firearm generally into a garden tool.
And that's the idea, right?
A garden tool that shoots bullets, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're superheating these metal parts of
Correct.
The gun
Correct.
down to iron and or metal and and then you do the sculpting?
I do the forging.
The forging.
And beat it out on my anvil.
Well, what's one of your more popular gardening items that you turn a gun to a gardening tool?
Well, the first would be the hand spade.
And, oh, okay.
The hand spades are are very attractive. I have a friend who turns wood, lives in Stoughton, and he makes the handles for me.
Okay.
And I sell those. The money is used to purchase gift cards for people who surrender their firearms. So it's sort of self-supporting.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Dan, let's bring you in on this. You're with First United Methodist Church, correct?
Right.
And so
now that's going on June 7th, and it's a morning thing. It's 9 till noon.
Right.
And that's Saturday. Where some of the forging will take place. Are you going to melt some stuff down there in the parking lot or right in the lobby of the church? Or?
Doesn't probably
work
not.
It does not work that way.
Okay. All right.
I'd just like to say, John, that for people that are interested in, and this is totally voluntary, we're trying to get people that have unwanted firearms. Maybe they inherited those from a grandparent, you know, a long gun hunting rifles. We get a lot of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those are particularly good, Jeff, for melding down and making into trowels or little pickaxes. But or maybe you had, unfortunately, an accident with a gun in the past. We've had some people that actually have brought in AR-15s, which are military-style assault weapons, which were really eager to get off the streets. They estimated in 2023 that there are 20 million military-style multi-round, like 30-round guns are in this country. They have no purpose, practical purpose. Hunters would never want that much lead in their deer.
20 million.
Yeah, 20 million. And it went up from in 1994 when there was a assault weapon ban in this country for 9 years. There were 400,000 nationwide. So it went to 20 million. But in any case, we encourage people, if you just have an old handgun that you don't want your children or grandchildren playing with, to bring those in voluntarily. We give you a gift card up to $250 at Pick and Save. Mm-hmm. Then we want those unloaded and in the back of your vehicle, and you'll be coming in to the church parking lot off of Dayton at the corner of Dayton and Wisconsin Avenue, and we'll have volunteers directing you around. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually get out of your vehicle and watch Jeff and his crew chop saw these items.
And they don't wait to take it out. They just chop saw it right there in the vehicle, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not only,
no.
And, that's
they're all destroyed according to the firearm, tobacco, and alcohol bureaus.
You know, I was just thinking, I actually have a long gun, 22. And I accidentally lost the key to the gun lock that I have on.
Oh, great.
So I've never been able to use it after that. I don't know. That's the way it is, you know? So,
well, if
to recycle.
If you'd like to dispose of it safely, so it won't fall into any other hands, I would make you from a rifle barrel a mattock. And mattock is another word for small pickaxe.
There you go.
Okay, that's what I mean. There, you've been asking for one of those for Christmas.
I need a small pickaxe.
So this is all a part of the National Gun Violence Awareness Week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is that the week of June 7th? Is that or is that this week?
All of June, Gordy, is National Gun Violence Awareness Month.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
But particularly June 6th through the 8th, we ask that people wear orange and also write their legislators at the state level. Mm-hmm. We're looking for more stronger background checks at pop-up gun shows, taking guns out of the hands of abusers, which the state has pretty lax rules on that, and also more red flag laws to identify a mental illness.
Yeah.
Any mass shootings, they found people have signs of mental illness, and we need to make people family members more aware of that.
We had those in place at one time, right? And didn't they get rid of the red flag laws in the state?
But we have really loosened up on open carry.
Yeah.
Mm.
which, yeah. and in public buildings, which our Wisconsin Alliance Against Violence wave is really pushing for tightening up on carry laws as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jeff, how many of these events do you help coordinate every year around here?
Several.
Yeah.
After this one, I have great hopes of working with some churches on the east side. Mm-hmm. In the area vicinity of Abundant Life Christian School, and a joint effort mm-hmm. to hold something around the anniversary of the shootings that took place there last mm-hmm. early December.
Sure. So the event is June 7th, Saturday, 9 to noon in the parking lot at First United Methodist Church. And that'll be going on from, again, 9 till noon that day. And what else do people need to know about bringing their guns in? Or you accept any kind of firearm?
Yes.
Okay.
As Dan mentioned, we do not receive any ammunition. Mm-hmm. The guns should be brought in and put in the trunk of a car okay. or the back seat. The driver doesn't leave the vehicle at all. But a person accompanies the driver through the event where the gun is removed from the car, ammunition check is done, mm-hmm. given to the chop saw team where it is destroyed. Mm-hmm. They're offered a gift card and sent on their way.
It's kind of scary, you know, handling firearms in a parking lot.
Well, got to be safe rather than sorry.
We have faith, John.
And interestingly, I've taken training with a group of other people doing this mm-hmm. around the country, and we've been trained in pistol training. And the teacher of that was an instructor from the National Rifle Association.
Wow. Well, that's really great. It's great to have that. Wow.
Well, we should mention the website, too, rawtools.org. Get a lot of really good information there. And, again, that's rawtools.org. And, again, once again, June 7th, Saturday. Mark it on your calendar. Saturday, June 7th, 9 to noon, parking lot at the First United Methodist Church. And, Jeff and Dan, we wish you all the best at that event. Anything else you'd like to add before we wrap things up?
I just want to express my appreciation for your willingness to have us on this program.
Well, we're happy to have you.
Wish you well as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I will probably stop trying at this point to arm liberal citizens out there.
Right. Well, you're going to bring your gun?
For the coming war.
Are you going to donate your...
Well, yeah, I really have to get that .22 rifle out and just, get rid of it finally.
Thank you, Jeff and Dan. We'll be back with more of John and Gordy in just a moment. Stay with us.
Thank you.
All right.
Good job, guys.
Thank you.
Well, great job on you guys.
We got you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy.
It is 7:23, cloudy, a little bit of rain here and there. Highs today right around 60. Currently it's 55 degrees. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by Verlo Mattress. You can wake up and sleep better on a Verlo mattress. A lot has changed since 1958, but some things have remained constant throughout Verlo's history. They're still direct-to-consumer and providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, two Madison locations, east and west. Go to their website, verlo.com.
All right. Why don't we get into the economy? And, you know, it's a little chaotic when you consider all of the tariffs that are on and off, delays, all that kind of stuff. I don't exactly know what you're talking about in there. What do you?
We're going to get to all of that in just a moment.
But
first,
we have our chief meteorologist, Brittany
Merlot.
Oh,
with us.
Man, you know.
Good morning, Brittany. Crazy day around here. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm a little discombobulated.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We need Dan Schaefer in here.
Yes, to recombobulate us all. So we've got some clouds and rain this morning, a little bit of light rain around the Madison area. Is this what we can expect for today?
All day?
Yeah. Pretty much. Till about 3 o'clock, I'd say it's going to stick around on and off, light drizzle out there.
Yeah.
Probably a quarter of an inch of rain expected throughout the day. Maybe some rumbles of thunder this afternoon, but I think a lot of those are going to stay north of you.
Mm.
But like you said, highs at about 60. It's the last cool, crisp day before that summer heat starts to move on in. Tomorrow we'll hit 70. It'll be partly sunny, but we do start to have those chances of pop-up showers and storms in the afternoon. So that's going to be, again, chance tomorrow. Then storm chances Friday as we hit 80 degrees and some mugginess starts to seep in,
the dew points.
I was looking at the dew points next week and into next weekend for you, John.
Yes.
They're disgusting. Mid-70s.
No!
That is like dripping sweat points headed our way.
That's bad. All right. Well, it's air conditioning time once again at the Peterson home.
Okay.
All right.
Yep. So by next week. So enjoy the 60 degrees today, 70 tomorrow, 80 on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of sunshine to end the week. So
that's nice. Yeah.
The weekend looks okay. No rain.
No, actually, not at all. Saturday, sunny, and Sunday, sunny.
Mm. All right.
Excellent.
Woohoo.
All right, Brittany, thank you so much. You have a good day.
You're
we'll
welcome.
Talk to you again tomorrow. That's our WMD.
As we all wear black today.
Yeah.
Black clothing day today.
Thanks, Brittany. Our WMDX meteorologist. Okay.
As we all watch, you know, our phones, the video on our phones as we drive into work.
That's what you do. Yes. Our phone lines are open, 608-879-8255, 608-879-TALK, or you can... Of course, always reach us the easy way on the Civic Media app, free to download and free to use.
One of the fun people to listen to normally on the economy now is, you know, with that British accent, right? Justin Wolfers, he comes out and he has a few things. He was on Chris Hayes last night, and I'm definitely going to get a few comments that he made last night on the show. But I've got one here, and he's talking about explaining what's really behind Trump's decisions on the tariffs and the economy. Guess what? It's stupidity and crony capitalism. Surprise.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
This is cut 190, and he's talking about crony capitalism and explaining it to everybody in the easiest way you can. Here we go.
Essentially, the president of the United States, not essentially, literally, is calling the CEO of an individual private company and telling him where he should produce what. Often when governments do this, they use a committee to do this planning called a central planning committee, but it is very much of an ideology that I understood Americans had fought a Cold War to reject and that Republicans more than anyone else rejected. This is the most interventionist White House of my life. There is not a single institution that this guy doesn't want to call, whether it's Harvard, whether it's Apple, to tell them how to do their jobs.
Yeah.
And I'm just an economist, but sometimes I think that if you leave people alone to do a pretty good job and fight stuff out in the market, that really works. The problem is the president also not only is not an expert on how to run a university or how to run a computer company or how to make iPhones, he's also one who likes favors. And so what that's actually leading to is a bunch of people competing, not in the market to produce the best good, but competing to get closer to him at Mar-a-Lago. And so if we end up with the products being produced by the folks who are best at getting to Mar-a-Lago rather than the best at making products, we're going to end up with a market economy full of crappy products at terrible prices, and the losers are going to be you and me. And that's what we mean when we talk about crony capitalism.
Well, I can't wait. 4 years. This is what we're going to expect, right? Crony capitalism, and this is really the definition of crony capitalism. Just an amazing analysis, and I think he's spot on.
Who is that again?
That is Justin Walters.
Justin Walters.
He's really nailed it a whole bunch of times. And last night on Chris Hayes, he really did it again. And we'll try to get a few of those comments in here. But he pointed out, and I pointed out here on the show, that he identified Trump as an interventionist.
Mm.
He is out there micromanaging businesses in this country, telling them how to invest, where to build their businesses, how to do all of this.
Yeah.
And it's insane.
He's the expert.
He can't do that.
But that doesn't
but
stop
him.
But
he's trying to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the entire economy.
It is 7:29. Coming up next, Mike McCabe will join us. He's going to explain the proclamation from the governor on the 30th anniversary. Yeah. Well, we'll get to that in just a moment on John and Gordy in the Morning.
John Gordy Show. John Gordy in the Morning.
As we were saying.
Let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Department Store, which this week only is featuring its annual clearance sale. No, not clearance. This is their clearance sale. Any customer named Clarence will receive 15% off any purchase during this week only. Offer void where not prohibited by law.
I'm a little confused. But
yeah,
I'll try to work that out.
Quite understand that.
John Peterson, Gordy Young. John and Gordy in the Morning on WMDX 92.7.
It is 7:35, cloudy, a little bit of rain along the way, highs near 60 for today. And we'll get to Mike McCabe here in just a moment. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. You'll find them at 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. They're helping people, changing lives. Their number one goal isn't just selling hearing aids, it's improving the quality of life. Through better hearing, they have fast and flexible appointments. Jim and Sarah will take care of you. They offer individualized care, not one size fits all. Check them out on their website. They've got a hearing test there that you can get started with, MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. That's Madison Hearing Aid Center, 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison.
Yes, okay. It's able to tune out mega discussions at the dining room table.
Well, it's
amazing how the AI is able to single that.
I think you're making this up now.
And mute it.
Okay.
A man can dream.
Yeah, a man can dream. Okay. Technology can take us there, I think. All right. Well, let's get to Mike McCabe from Substack and also the author of Miracle Along County Q. We have a County Q sign here that Sam brought in. Sam.
Well, yeah, this is my last time being in the studio for Mike McCabe's weekly appearance.
Right. Yeah.
And I wanted to finish his book before it. So I sat and I finished the book yesterday. And
your review?
It's a good book. I can definitely
see, I've been telling you.
I can
for
definitely
months.
Tell that it was written by Mike. There's a lot of wisdom packed into that book.
And a few surprises,
completely
right?
out of left field, yeah.
Yes.
But you mentioned the road sign. I grew up probably 2 or 3 miles from Marathon County Q in Ringle, Wisconsin. And when Marathon County redid their entire addressing system, I stole one of their old road signs.
Now you admit
for
it.
County Q. And okay. so I thought there it'd it be is. Funny to bring that in.
And for listeners who don't know where Marathon County is, it neighbors Clark County, which is where I grew up and where Miracles Along County Q is set
in
Clark County. Yeah. So excellent. Next door neighbors.
Yeah.
And you also mentioned on Substack your reviews, your star reviews, and you have a 4.5 out of 5 stars in your review column, and that is that's really actually exceptional.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's not bad for a rookie. First time I've ever tried my hand at fiction, and there was one-star review.
Oh, really?
And really? Somebody who hated it uh-huh. and gave it 1 star, which knocked the rating down. So it was like a 4.8 or 4.9 out of 5 stars for a while, the average. But the 1-star review knocked it down a bit. But hey, that comes with the territory.
Yeah, you can't please everybody.
You can't please everybody. And somebody was offended.
Well, you know, my wife also has those reviews. And yeah, you get knocked down every once in a while by somebody who says, well, you took too long to get the second book out. So they knock them down to like 2 or 3 stars. And it's always unfair. Or I didn't get the book. Or I haven't read it yet. But, there's all these excuses for the low ratings that they give in some of these reviews. It's crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about the highway sign here, and it's County Highway Q. And we were talking how in the old days there weren't really references, addresses or road names.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin.
We're saying off the air that when I was growing up in Clark County, we lived on a gravel road. We had a dairy farm about 1.5 miles down a gravel road, and the road had no name, and there was no fire number for the properties. Mm-hmm. The postal service and the fire department, for that matter, just needed to know where people lived, and they needed to come wherever they were told to go. And so, yeah, when we gave people directions, we just had to say, you know, go out County Highway E is where our farm was off of County E. Mm-hmm. And you'll see a creamery on the right and a tavern on the left. And it's at that intersection where you turn left on this gravel road. You go down there a little bit over 1 mile, and you're gonna find our farm there on the left. And now, I don't know when the law was changed so that you had to have fire numbers, but you go out in the country, and you'll see these numbers posted by every property. That's actually a fire number. So that fire departments know where to go if they're responding to a fire. And I assume the Postal Service now has that road never had a name. There was no road sign. It's now called Hickory Road, the road where I grew up. I don't know when that road was labeled, but it never was while I lived there.
Well, your farm still there?
Yeah, the family farm still there? Yeah, and I'm still in touch with the people who bought the farm from us. It's still in the same family. Wow. The family that bought it from us still is on the land today. And I still exchange notes from time to time with he was, you know, knee high to a grasshopper at the time we sold the farm to them. He was just a little kid, but Matthew DiRico now is fully grown, and I'm still in touch with Matt.
It's a great story.
Working farm still?
Yeah.
It's sort of a working farm, but they did get out of dairying.
Yes.
They no longer milk. They grow crops. But, you know, this was a family from the Chicago area that wanted to get out of the city folk. And come to the country.
Green
and
acres.
They bought our farm, and they had never milked cows in their lives.
Wow.
They weren't farmers. But they learned it, and they became exceptional dairy farmers. Mm. He was a trucker. Frank DiRico was a trucker. They now run a trucking business off of the farm.
Wow!
They have their, you know, they have
that's adapting.
Their whole system of communicating with all their trucks is actually run out of an old shed on our farm.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, you know, we had a late night movie show on Fox 47 many years ago, and it was brought to everybody by Rural Route 1 popcorn.
That's right.
And that's how they identified properties back then.
Rural Route 1, Curtis, Wisconsin.
There you go.
That was my our family's address, and so there was no road number, nothing.
Yeah.
Rural Route 1, Curtis.
Talking with Mike McCabe, Substack author and blogger. What's your latest column about, Mike?
Well, it's really about how we're living at a time of great dishonesty and cruelty, and there's an awful lot of people who who are being victimized, sometimes grabbed off the street and detained without due process and for no just reason. And an awful lot of people who are wearing crosses around their necks mm-hmm. are looking the other way. Mm-hmm. And so I just tell that old story that everybody knows. And some people believe in this historical figure. Some of them believe that this is actually a savior and attach religious meaning to this individual. Mm-hmm. And some people just don't buy the story at all. But you know the story. The night that before Jesus was nailed to a cross, he met with his disciples and washed the feet of those closest to him, his closest confidants, knowing that he was about to be betrayed. He was about mm-hmm. to be abandoned and forsaken. And the next day he would be nailed to a cross. And the people who wear that cross around their neck are not washing feet. They are washing their hands of all of that is going on around us. That's what the column is about.
Caroline Levitt.
It's literally, the title of the article on Substack is Feet or Hands. And we got that choice to make. And and all these people around this current regime, including the press secretary that you just named, you look at them, they've always got a cross around their neck. And yet the teaching of the individual for whom that symbol is worn has gone right out the window. So I wrote about that.
I want to play a little cut here. This is cut 183. Can we just a little bit of it, okay? Because you'll get the point, but this is James Tallarico. He's a representative in Texas, and he's a pastor, also a representative. So let's listen just a little part of what he's getting at here in this clip.
What is the fourth commandment?
Keep the Sabbath.
Part of keeping the Sabbath holy is not working on the Sabbath.
That is.
What day is the Jewish Sabbath?
It is on Saturday.
And what day is it today?
It is Saturday. Here we are.
The Christian Sabbath is what day?
Sunday, in honor of the day that Jesus rose from the dead.
And we're scheduled to give this bill a final vote on what day of the week?
It's ironic, isn't it?
Would you be willing to postpone your bill so that we're not breaking the Ten Commandments by working on the Jewish or Christian Sabbath?
I love that you said that because
you're saying that you'd rather tell people to follow the Ten Commandments than follow it yourself?
I would have rather have had this bill passed the other day when it was time.
We as a legislature are about to force every teacher in the state to post the Ten Commandments in their classrooms.
If
Do
they
members
are donated.
Of the Texas legislature follow the Ten Commandments?
So again, this bill is about honoring our historical, educational, and judicial heritage with the discipline of the Ten Commandments.
The ninth commandment is thou shalt not bear false witness. Are you aware of any legislators who have lied about anything?
All right, now you kind of get the idea.
So it goes on, yeah.
But very good point, right? They're really pushing the Ten Commandments, yet none of them are really following in the footsteps of Jesus and the tablets themselves. So,
and if she'd been honest, that clip would have been really long if she'd listed all the lawmakers who'd been dishonest.
Oh, that is so true. My goodness, yeah. But anyway, you were talking about that, and this is what's happening kind of in this country here, that they're doing things just the opposite of what what their religion is telling them.
Yeah, and I partly wrote the article to call out that hypocrisy, mm-hmm. so that's part of the purpose. But I also wrote the article for all of us, whether we're lawmakers or not elected to any public station, whether regardless of our place in this society, we can choose, sort of metaphorically, we can choose to wash feet or wash our hands. Mm-hmm. We can turn away from all the, from the brutality and the barbarity that is around us, or we can choose, we can choose to be kind when other people are being rude. We can choose to you know, show common decency when other people are engaged in cruelty.
Well, we're seeing that not happen.
And we're and that's part of why I wrote this, is because I think a lot of times decent minded people turn they sort of take the cues of those who are at the top engaging in cruelty and barbarity.
Yeah.
And that's the way they start treating people.
That's right.
And that's what we, that's when we really are in trouble, when we start to mirror that behavior. And that's something that we all can do in a moment like this, where it is a very dishonest age. It's a very troubling age in so many ways, and it's a very cruel age. We can choose to go in the opposite direction.
We're here with Mike McCabe. Mike, stay with us. We'll be back after a brief timeout here on John and Gordy in the Morning, WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
There's a light that glows by the front door. Don't forget the keys under the mat. When childhood stars shine, always stay humble and kind. Go to church 'cause your mama says to. Visit grandpa every chance that you can. Won't be wasted time. Always stay humble and kind.
And there you go.
It's Tim McGraw. Great song.
The song, Mike McCabe posted on Substack in this particular story that we're talking about today, and that is Feet or Hands. And I never heard of the song before, but the lyrics are actually really nice. So,
and they get more powerful as the song goes on.
Oh, yeah.
And I posted the YouTube video, so there's a music video that goes with it, and that's worth watching.
All right. And you also posted a cartoon, which I thought was fantastic. It showed a picture of two guys on a very fancy yacht.
Yeah.
And the dialogue goes, "And can you believe it? It only cost 180 people their Medicaid benefits." maybe the way they describe it now.
And what would the jet airplane cost?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I'll tell you, and we were talking about, addresses out in the rural communities, and Lynn from Golden Valley texted us saying, "I grew up outside of Eau Claire. And in the 60s, we lived on Rural Route 3, Box 94. So the rail system had their own codes. The road lacked the name until about the 1970s.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
So,
and must have been a somewhat more populated area because they needed P.O. boxes.
That's right.
That's it.
And
that's
there was a Rural Route 3.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, the whole thing here is I always thought it was a tradition here in Wisconsin where we described where we lived, where to go by landmarks, right? I mean, that's always the way it was.
Yeah.
It's, you know, two blocks from the McDonald's, you turn right at the mobile station, and right across the street from the church, that's where I live.
That's right.
You know, that's right. That's the way it is.
Yep.
So maybe that's how all of that became a tradition here in the state. I don't know.
Possibly so, yeah. So, Mike, what do you got coming up in the next little while here? You're kind of on a hiatus. We were talking about you were making all these appearances.
For book events, I think all the people who do book events must figure that they need to respect people's desire to be outdoors in the summer because there is a little bit of a hiatus. I'm going to be up in Owen, where I went to high school in July, for an event. But other than that, it's not going to get busy again until September or October.
And Miracles Along County Q is your book. You've mentioned before, you think this might be the only novel that you write.
Yeah,
right?
I don't have another story rattling around in my head, you know, ready to to start writing down. Mm-hmm. I would never rule it out because it was a wonderful mm-hmm. undertaking. I really enjoyed doing it, but it might be the only one I ever write. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know whether another story is going to occur to me.
That is, yeah, I know. You had a great idea for a book.
You know, one of the things I've noticed is a lot of authors they'll write that first book and it comes mm-hmm. from a place of great authenticity
and then they start.
Yeah, they've got an inspiration, and then they start writing formulaically, yeah. and they kind of write for the market, and they just start churning stuff out.
Yeah,
but they're never as good as that one that came from that place that were of real inspiration. And I don't really want to just churn books out for the sake of publishing books. I would want it to be a story that inspires me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, I want to hear, you know, we were talking about, wearing the cross and living the Bible, if that's truly what you think is important in your life. But we're seeing a lot of people, at least Republicans and MAGAs at this point, kind of ignore our responsibilities to their fellow man.
Correct.
By taking away all the health care. And I've never seen anything quite like this. I don't think anybody else has, and we keep saying that.
Yep.
But just to pass out tax cuts, to spend money on the billionaires and millionaires and corporations, to spend money on them, and then taking away all of the health care that they will be taking away, the safety nets, food, they're doing this at the expense of everybody in this country just to give tax cuts.
Yep.
To people who already have the money and don't need it and should actually be paying forward at this point.
Right. You know, and it's funny. I wrote this article, you know, and it starts out with the story of Jesus. I'm not a church-going man.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, whether you see him as Jesus Christ or just Jesus of Nazareth, a historical figure, or even if you don't accept that such a man ever walked the face of the earth, the story is powerful, and there's a tremendous amount of truth in the story. And what it says to us all these years later, two millennia later, what it says to us is just be accepting and kind and decent toward people.
Mm. Right.
And don't look down at people and see them as beneath you. You know, get down to their level and show them some human compassion and some decency. And that is what is so missing in our society and in our politics today.
In our culture.
I want to get to, you were celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
Yeah.
Everybody, all the leaders of that group.
Yeah, that's the first and only time that all four people who have been director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign were in the same room at the same time, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I had about a 20-year association of that 30 years. I was involved for about 20 and was director for 15 and passed the baton to new leadership, and the group keeps going strong. And Governor Evers wrote a proclamation, which was... It was wonderful that he did that for the people who are there now. Excellent. You know, I'm in the past.
Yep.
Mike McKay, we got to leave it there. We'll see you next Wednesday.
All right.
This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Lots changed since 1958. Some things remain constant throughout their history. They're still direct-to-consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. East and West locations in Madison. Go to verlo.com. Tomorrow it's Tim Slecker, Jim Santel, attorney at law.
Yep.
And Stephanie Miller is coming up next. We hope you have a great day.
Yes. Got to listen.
So long.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.